Hey guys,
we are
Bella Dose,
and welcome to our YouTube channel.
We interviewed our moms and got them to talk about just kind of our life story on how it was raising us and helping us throughout this career that we have, because we are a small team and a lot of strong, independent women help us throughout this journey. So we kind of wanted to get all their perspectives on it and, you know, kind of just show some light on what they do.
And before we start, we just want to say thank you so much to our moms for making us the people that we are today. If it wasn't for their sacrifices, for all their hard work, we wouldn't be here. So thanks, Mom.
Thank you. Yeah, Mom. And shout out to all the moms out there that work for their children and continue to put love into them and just support them in all the things they do, because we know that's not easy. And we're just grateful.
Moms are not just moms. Mom is a very important and big title that a lot of people love to talk down upon and shame and humiliate. But being a mother is one of the most important roles that there is on this planet. Yeah. It's, you know, you're raising people, you know, you're building a community of people. You're creating these people into who they are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really see that. So we're here to, you know, just react honor to our them. Mother's stories and honor them and and just show you guys.
You know what? So now it's time to get to know a little bit about them.
Yes. So to be honest, we did film them and the camera didn't work.
The footage is gone, babe.
The footage is gone, but we got all their audio. So you guys are going to be listening to them. And you guys are going to be getting our reactions on what they were saying and kind of just getting a little bit of our perspective on their words, too.
Hola, mi nombre es Martina. Yo soy la mamá de Jennifer.
Hola, mi nombre es Ana. Soy la mamá de Thais.
Hola, mi nombre es Betty. Soy la mamá de Melanie.
Hi, my name is Vicky, and I'm Brianna's mom.
And we are
Bella Dos Moms.
So here is the first question. We asked what it was like to find out you're raising a daughter, you're getting a daughter. What was it like finding out you were pregnant?
That is so sweet.
¿Que iba a tener una niña?
Sí, una niña, como cuando primero
te enteraste
cuando estás embarazada.
Dale.
Empiezo. Yo tengo que pasar primero, sí.
No.
No,
porque mi hija, aquí nos quedamos.
Cualquiera, vale, Ana.
Sí. Disclaimer, my mom is not a very words type of person, so she was very emotional throughout this, so we're going to do what we can based on what she said.
Ah, cuando yo iba a tener, estaba embarazada de Thais, yo estaba triste porque me habían dicho a los 8 meses que ella no iba a nacer.
Oh, wow.
Y antes de Thais ya había perdido 5 niños. Entonces cuando yo supe que Thais ya se le oía el corazón, nos pusimos felices.
Oh. Stop. The tears.
I'm already crying.
I know, the first question.
Not even 5 minutes in.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, my mom has told me so many times. She's like, wow, like, you're my gift from God, because my mom had a hard time conceiving and really keeping her kids. She would get pregnant, but she had 5 miscarriages before me. So having me, and also at 8 months, like, you couldn't hear my heartbeat. So my parents were just so distraught. They just didn't know what to do. And they were like, no, this can't be happening. Like, she's so far along. There's no way. But then they started hearing my heartbeat. And my dad, she's like, I have never seen your dad cry so much, because they really, really wanted me. And I just...
I know, I'm like trying to
hold. And you were the first.
And I was the first. And so I'm a rainbow baby. And actually, after my brother, after me, my parents got pregnant again, and they lost one in between. So me and my brother are both rainbow babies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
See, that's so hard. That's like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Let's continue to listen. Prepare your hearts.
Oh, see. Uh-huh. Yo siempre quería una niña.
Okay. Oh, that's so beautiful. Wow, what a question. Everybody's crying.
Okay.
I'm like, how did you come up with that question? We had no clue. Okay.
Okay, so me. Yo le decía a Melanie Jimmy por 8 meses.
What? You were a boy.
Wait, how do you feel knowing that you Jimmy, were Jimmy was your name?
You were Jimmy. Can I tell you something? No offense to all Jimmys out there, but that is a very interesting name to call me.
It's a choice.
Two Latin it's parents a choice. Creating Jimmy, I think, is very interesting. They're like, what is an American name we can name our boy?
Gosh. Jimmy. Yeah, that, and I've known that since like fifth grade, and that's a story I always tell everyone. Was my mom thought I was gonna be a boy, and the name she put on me was Jimmy, and she would say hello Jimmy every morning.
You going through an identity crisis in your belly, like
I'm
okay
before I'm born.
Okay, we're back.
Les presento a Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Sí. Y eso era porque,
oh my God.
O sea, bueno, sinceramente cuando yo me enteré de que yo estaba embarazada, fue de sorpresa. Primero porque yo tenía ya llevaba con el papá de Melanie 4 años y no habíamos nunca usado preservativos o nos habíamos cuidado de ninguna manera. Y entonces cuando
yo
veo que estoy embarazada, tengo 22 añitos. Y entonces yo decía, oh my God, ¿qué voy a hacer? O sea, yo lloraba, no sabía si llorar de felicidad o de tristeza. Y después cuando me entero que supuestamente no nos dijeron que era una niña, porque ella no se dejó ver. Y ya después, entonces yo, no, va a ser un niño, porque me dijeron que tenía 75% de probabilidades que era un niño. Y entonces yo era, oh, Jimmy, hola, Jimmy, buenos días, Jimmy, ¿cómo estás, Jimmy? Y cuando ya me hacen un solo un mes antes de nacer y como 3 días antes del baby shower, me dicen que no, que iba a ser una niña. Y yo, ¡oh! ¿Y yo ahora yo qué hago? Y entonces yo dije, bueno, si toca cambiar la ropa, pues se cambia, no hay problema. Y después nació mi negrita hermosa.
That's so cute.
Wow, she was super young.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
she Wait, got pregnant with you. She
22.
She was 22
when she was pregnant with me.
What the heck? Yeah. I was probably still playing with Barbies at 22.
I'm 22.
No way.
Bueno, yo primeramente nosotros queríamos un varón, una hembra primero. Deseábamos una hembra, pero nació el varón. So cuando nació Jennifer, eso fue. Eso fue algo bien emocionante porque de verdad querían una hembra desde el principio. O sea, eso fue lo mejor que nos ha pasado en la vida, tener a Jennifer.
Oh, I know,
it's oh my God.
Oh man. She told me that from the beginning. I knew it already. She said, we always wanted a girl, so when you were born, it was like, and I was like, I know, it's a favorite. No, I'm just kidding. We love my brother. But yeah, that's crazy.
That's so beautiful that, like, we're just, like, so loved. Like, that's so awesome to hear our moms be like, like, I loved you guys since the moment I found out you were in my belly. Like,
even before you were here.
Yeah.
It's so special.
Me was, okay, so my story, she knows, so I had the worst stomach ache and the worst nauseousness. And I said, oh my God, I have a stomach virus. This stomach virus is driving me crazy. So I used to have a restaurant and the doctor comes to eat. And I tell her, I have the worst stomach virus. I don't know what to do with the stomach virus. So her clinic was right next door. And she goes, you know, I want you to come to my clinic really quick because I'm going to tell you what this stomach virus is all about. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine. She goes, can you urinate on this cup right now? And I'm like, how are you going to figure out what my stomach virus is about through urination? And it's a, like a woman's clinic. Yeah. And I go, why do you want me to urinate in your cup? She goes, yeah, just urinate and I'll be right back. And she goes, here's your stomach virus. It's going to last 9 months. What are you talking about? And so 8 years after having my second daughter, never did I think I would have another baby. And then came Brianna, and she turned into my best friend. You know, she's like, like, I call her the best stomach virus I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
It's a big gap. Wow.
That's 8 years. Yeah, yeah, I think that's the worst part about my family dynamic is that I am so far from all of my siblings. Like, they did not expect me. But yeah, that's why, well, the best surprises are the best.
Say the that's best why, for last.
Yeah, the best for last.
Oh. Right.
I am the best. Wow. That's it.
So you guys are 8 years apart, you and your sister?
Yeah, me and my sister are 8 years apart, and then me and my brother are 11.
And then you're 9 years apart?
Me and Milan are 9 years apart. And I'm older.
We're six. My brother was six when I was born.
Wow, okay. My brother's like a year and like 11
wow,
months.
Wow, yeah, you guys are the closest in age.
Very close,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
That's so cool.
So for this next question, we asked, what's the growth that you've seen in Bella Dose compared from the beginning of the journey till right now, 8 years later?
Hemos visto una gran diferencia, enorme. So ustedes han progresado bastante. Son ya como, para mí son famosas, son una artista. Lo que pasa es que no le han sabido dar el lugar que ustedes se merecen.
Exacto.
No le han puesto en el lugar que tienen que estar. Sí. So, para mí ya son grandes. Son una profesional. Y son bien dedicadas, siempre están haciendo lo que tienen que hacer. Ya, no quieran.
Estoy orgullosa de ellas. Son unas guerreras.
Uh-huh.
Han dejado familia.
Uh-huh. She was gonna cry, right?
Yeah, she
she's
was.
Like, no puedo.
She's like, no puedo. No puedo. I can't.
Estoy orgulloso de Thaís. Ay, no, ya no. Okay, Betty, you go while she breathes.
No hay agua, dale en agua.
Ha sido un journey bien, bien fuerte, especialmente porque nosotros sabemos el sacrificio que estas niñas han hecho desde chiquiticas, todo lo que se han esmerado por su sueño. Y como mamás, o sea, siempre hemos estado ahí para apoyarlas, porque eso es lo que nosotros queremos ver. Nosotros vinimos a este país con un sueño. Y yo creo que ese sueño ha estado siendo reflejado en las hijas de nosotros, que se nacieron aquí, que se han criado, pero que nunca han dejado sus costumbres latinas, que siempre se han mantenido bien fuertes, creyendo en lo que nosotros les hemos inculcado como padres, buenas costumbres, ser respetuosas, tener humildad. Y yo creo que a veces... la humildad también conviene, o sea, concibe con el momento de, tú puedes ser humilde, pero también en un lugar tú también tienes que ser, tener orgullo de lo que tú has logrado con tu esfuerzo. Entonces, eso no se lo puede quitar a uno nadie. Las horas de trabajo, las horas que han puesto día a día para, like, to improve your craft, the time and... Y todo lo que todos los días, el sacrificio que han hecho de levantarse temprano a las 6 de la mañana, irse a acostar a las 3 de la mañana, volver a levantarse a las 6 porque tienen un video musical, porque tienen que ensayar, hacer un rehearsal, porque tienen que hacer un show, porque eso no lo ve nadie. O sea, la gente solamente ve los 3 o 4 minutos que están paradas en un stage, pero no saben que para poder estar parados en el stage por 3 o 4 minutos es un... Todo un conjunto de un trabajo súper fuerte, de mucha gente que ellas no tienen. Entonces, ellas hacen absolutamente todo. Entonces, mira, aquí les presento a la estilista, que es la que corta pelo. Aquí les presento a la cocinera cuando está alrededor. Aquí les presento a la agencia de viajes. Y aquí les presento a la manager, cocinera, la chofer, la estilista, la que pone la plata.
But that's actually, like, Betty said it perfectly. That's literally what L-pop is. Like,
no, it's
no dejamos las costumbres latinas, but we're born here. We're our parents came here for a dream, and, like, we're that American dream for them. Like, that's insane. And also, it's true. You don't see all the hard work that we put in. You don't see our 24 hours a day and what they look like, what we go through even mentally. Like, each girl, you know, has their own lives as well, like, apart from being inside of this group.
I mean, tell them what you do after we do a session.
yeah, like after a session,
a 13-hour session, she has to go fill an assignment.
Bro, I have to do like three assignments and go to sleep at 3 a.m. and then wake up the next day and then still do my skincare routine, do all this stuff, like still try to focus on myself. Like each one of us has such
exams and then have to take quizzes, writing a song. And then I brought my laptop, just did a quiz while we were in, stopped writing quiz whilst a girl's recording. It's just.
So I feel like a lot of people just undermine artists when it comes to what a lifestyle of an artist is, because it's a lot of hard work doing that lifestyle. It's not easy, especially when you're working for so long. Like, we've been doing this for 8 years and it hasn't necessarily popped off how we want it to. And but then it's like, oh no, but it's not that we're ungrateful for the amount of support that we do get from the fans that see us, but it's just like, you know,
we know we deserve like better, if that makes sense. Like, we're we know we can get to this place. Like, we have this vision, like, this is what we think we want for ourselves, and that's why we keep pushing to get to that level.
Or like, even too, like, before we dropped L Pop, our album, a lot of people, like, we would show to them and sometimes they wouldn't understand even the music we were giving them. They would just be like, well, this doesn't really make sense. And we're just kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not supposed to make sense, because if it made sense, that means it's already done before, and that's why you don't understand it. And sometimes it's actually good to not understand. Like, I'm pretty sure no one understood Bohemian Rhapsody when they first heard it. Pretty sure no one understood like a lot of songs in the world before.
Even a lot of acts like themselves. I'm pretty sure everyone's like, oh yeah, ABBA, okay,
cool.
And then it's like, oh, it's ABBA.
Like, it happened with Destiny's Child. They were turned down a lot of times from labels, everyone. They weren't gonna make it and look.
Yeah, they got dropped from their label. I mean, that's a good tea to talk about. Like, Destiny's Child was doing it since they were literally like maybe 8 years old together, growing up together. And then when they were like 16, 15, they got signed and then they got dropped. And then it's like, it's crazy. Girls, if they didn't keep going, then they wouldn't have Destiny's Child, you wouldn't have Beyonce.
That's the story for a lot of artists too, that like they get rejected, like labels say no, people turn them down until they have the clout and it's like, okay, now you see it.
Right.
And also like, just because you make music doesn't mean you're rich. Like, a lot of people see artists and they're like, oh, they're rich, they have so much money. It's usually the opposite. Because it's really hard to make a living off of your art and off of your craft. It's really difficult to make a living. And we love this so much that we continue so we can make a living out of it and live our lives this way, doing what we love. We're just so passionate for it.
So the next question is, what are some sacrifices you had to make as parents to help fulfill your children's dreams?
Cuando Melanie estaba chiquita, a los 9 años, y como dije, ella se iba a una esquinita, and she will not dance, she will not do anything. I just put her like, you know, extracurriculum, so she'll be doing something, you know, after school. And then I guess when she realized that she loved dancing and she loved music, and she was the one like, mommy, please take me here, mommy, please take me to this audition, mommy, please, I want to learn this, mommy, please, I want piano lessons, mommy, I want guitar lessons, mommy, I want this, I want that. And then it's a lot of money. So it's like, I think she's my biggest investment ever. That's more than my mortgage. And growing up, sometimes, you know, I work in the airline industry, which has very flexible, you know, schedules. And I used to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, leave at 1 o'clock, pick her up from school and be with her in all these auditions or TV shows. And I'm talking about like 11, 10, 12 years old, and I'm running around. And sometimes and this is something that I'm going to say right now. Sometimes I probably didn't have money for gas. And I'm emotional because, you know, I will never say, because I will never want my kids to know where I'm standing. And I just want her to be able, because as a mom and growing up, I didn't really have that support. You know, I came to this country to work hard, to clean houses, and I was only 18 years old. So I didn't want my kid to go through that. I didn't want my kid to be, you know, because of me, I wanted to, like, work hard. If I had to work doubles,
so she will not have any, you know, she and any like something that she needed or something that she wanted. I wanted to support her. I wanted to be able to be there for her. And and yeah, and it's not easy. It hasn't been easy. It was very, very expensive when it came to everything. But I knew that's what she wanted to do. And I said, you know what? I'm going to support you. I'm going to do what needs to be done, even if I sleep 2 hours and I run around with you with my airline uniform all day. But it doesn't matter. You know, I, as long as one day I know that investment is going to pay off, and as long as she's happy, I'm happy. And that's what really matters. You know, that's what I came here, and I came here for the American dream, and she's my American dream. So,
yeah. So beautiful.
It's really crazy because, like, obviously as a little girl, I know we had struggles, but I never really knew, like, the struggles that my mom was happening, like, going through behind the scenes, because she just hit it so well. Mm-hmm. She hit it so well. She always hid it from me, so I wouldn't be like, Mom, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Are you all right? Like, are you going through something? She didn't want me to see that, and she was very good at hiding it. Like, I didn't know she was, like, with no gas. I didn't know.
I feel like that's, like, a mom superpower. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, they really try to portray themselves as someone that's just so, like, happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, no, yeah, we're going to try to make it work. We're going to make it work no matter if they don't have gas, if they don't have money, if they're not feeling like themselves. Like, that's just such a super power that a mom has. And that's just,
yeah, every mom,
I hope to have that.
So yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
My mom, when my dad passed, she, like, hid, like, her being sad.
Yeah.
You know, just for us. But she's like, now I'm a single mom. I need 3 jobs,
yeah,
to support 2 kids. I don't have, like, anyone.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot for her. And she would cry and, like, hide, but I would see it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
She did it.
Yeah. She did it.
And she's still doing it. Kids. Yeah. Still, like, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still doing it.
Yeah.
In the club, we all
crying. I swear. I'm a mess.
Yeah. Two. Mi trabajo es servicio de limpieza y he tenido que trabajar muy duro para pagar las clases de Thais.
Ay, no. Oh, yes. Okay. I know Anita since 16 years ago, and we've been together taking all girls to all kind of auditions, and then we'll be like running around, and it was just crazy. I mean, they will be eating in the car, they will be doing homework in the car. So I know that she's a very strong woman, and she actually cooks the best. So every time we're together, she cooks for us. It's like a blessing. And then, but I know all the sacrifices that she's done, especially because Anna and Thais' family is a family that they actually had it all and maybe a little bit more. And then they lost it all. So it's really hard, and people don't understand, you know, when you have it all and you have your kids already, you know, like, used to a way of life, and then, you know, you're not able to continue to do that and to support it. And with all her sacrifices, she makes sure that, you know, nothing was missing from those kids.
As a family, and just a lot of things happened where we had it all, and then it was just poof, it was just gone. And my mom has just sacrificed so much. Oh, my God. My mom has just sacrificed so much for me and my brother to just have everything that she couldn't have, because she grew up super poor, too. And she's just such a hard worker. My mom would clean houses every single day, like maybe 12 to 18 hours type of day. And even then she would still take me to my lessons. She would take me to, you know, any extracurriculars that I wanted to do.
And she would actually clean houses in exchange for those vocal lessons because we didn't have money at the time. And it is really, really expensive. So she was like, okay, so maybe, you know, that business mentality, you know. She's like, okay, maybe I can clean your house. And then, you know, in exchange, I'll give your daughter vocal lessons or piano lessons or, you know, anything that I wanted to do. She would always make it happen.
He tenido que limpiar casas a cambio de que me le dieran las clases de canto. He tenido que irme así toda, como uno cuando limpia casas anda todo sucio. He tenido que irme a las clases así toda sucia para llegar a tiempo a las clases de ella. Y ha sido un sacrificio grande, pero estoy orgullosa del producto que está sucediendo ahora.
Los resultados.
Los resultados, sí. Y yo estoy feliz por las cuatro niñas. Mm. Y las quiero mucho.
Yeah. I just want to say about Anna, and, you know, I cry because I know the sacrifice she's made because she even quit her job to come and take care of my mom when my mom was sick. And we had to travel to Dubai or Korea, and I couldn't leave my mom. Career. And I said, I don't know what to do because I'm not going to leave my mom with just anybody. I need to leave my mom with somebody that I trust. And I asked her, and she said, okay. And so she left everything behind. And this is the sisterhood that we have. And this is why I want to make I need this to succeed. Because I want to make sure that she stops working, that I don't want her cleaning. She's still cleaning houses to this day. And it's a shame that you guys are so good, so talented, and we haven't been able to break because we just want to stay independent. We just want to be able to do this on our own. And it's not like the world doesn't know you. It's just that there's things that happens in the industry that doesn't allow you to break. It's not that I haven't put the money into promotion. It's not that I haven't. We've had so many opportunities. It's just there's certain things that stop you.
And I want to tap onto that too. I feel like in a way, like what we're just kind of saying is it is all in God's timing. And I'm a really big believer in that. People that watch this video today, you guys are witnesses to seeing something from the beginning, and you guys are here kind of supporting us so that when in the future, when we are as big as we want to be and people are hearing our songs all over the world, you guys are like, wow, I remember the days that they would sit down on the podcast mm-hmm. and talk about the struggles that they're going through, because this is a really hard journey, especially when we are away from our moms and we've gone through many things within this group, and that we've had a lot of sacrifices and also like sad things happen. So, and the fact that we could stick together and see that we all have a reason for this career, and we all believe that God just is just waiting on the moment that people are ready to hear it.
Yep.
So literally, I think that's what it is. I personally think it's just all in God's timing. Yeah, my mom, I mean, she didn't answer this question, but I can go on the things of her sacrifices. I mean, my mom and my sister and I moved out to LA when I was 7 years old. So that means how long now?
I thought you were 18 for a second. I was like, what? Wait, 18? Hello?
Wait, I was like 11 years ago. No.
No. So it's been a while now that me and my mom and my sister have been doing this career. We moved out here. Well, we didn't move out here, actually. We came out here with a flight, stayed in a place. We were like, oh, we're going to be here for 2 weeks. No, a week. And then we're like, okay, we're going to extend this to 2 weeks. And we're going to be like, okay, we're going to extend this to a month. And then it became 3 months. And then it became like 8 years. And then it became like 12 years. And then so my mom, and I didn't know this at the time either, that my mom and my dad, we had a restaurant in Orlando, Florida, really good food and really amazing restaurant. But my parents couldn't pay for the bills anymore because it was either sustaining us out here or doing the restaurant. So my parents had to give up the restaurant, and we lost that. And it was a very hard, I kind of like lifestyle that we chose, because there is no guarantee in the music industry. There is no guarantee that you're going to make it and it's going to pay off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom was so, she believed in me and my sister so much that she decided to give up her life that she worked so hard for. You know, she had so much. Like, she was a realtor in Orlando, and she had a restaurant, and they were winning footy awards. And to think that they would move out here to be poor, because we lived in a one-bedroom apartment with four people. Like, it was not, like, an easy thing. And so the fact that she would choose that over a life she already built. But you know what? Yeah. I will say, I'm so grateful that I actually kind of was like forced to have a humble beginning, because I was able to really appreciate life, because I didn't have it all when I was growing up. Like, I was seven to now. We didn't have a lot of money. We would be like, I remember one thing that we finally got a car out here in LA, because we couldn't get a car. And then one day we got a car. And I remember my mom had been driving my sister all over LA for auditions, and we didn't have money for gas either. And we were almost home, and the light turns freaking red. And my mom's crying, and she's like, what do we do? I have no money to put gas in the car. So then she's like, she starts praying. This woman made me believe in God. This is the moment I believed in God right now. This is so the reason I believe in God. She started praying. She said, God, just make that gas go back up. Like God, just please let us get home. That gas went back up.
Of course, God
that gas
provides.
Went back up. Yes. I was like, I think I was 8 years old, and I was like, oh, God, it's real. He gave me gas. And so that was like a real realization that, like, just put your faith into something you really want and you will do it. And yeah, my mom has never wanted to shy away from God giving her a lot of blessings. So I'm grateful that I got to live a life of understanding that money's not easy. Money's not that comes just from always working. It is a blessing to get that. It is a blessing that God gives you to be able to have resources like that. And so, yeah, I mean,
and money isn't everything too at the end of the day, because one day you'll have it, one day it's gone.
Right.
It's
like,
you just gotta be happy, live out your dreams. Happy.
Yeah. I mean, my mom was, I mentioned earlier, a single mom, and when she first started working, she worked at, her first job was at the airport, the West Palm Airport, janitor with my auntie.
Really? I didn't know that.
That was her first job until I was like 8, and then she got the school cafeteria job. So she was a janitor, but that wasn't enough, so she also had to clean houses. And me and my mom always to this day are attached to the hip, so me and her were like this. So everywhere after school, she'd take me with her to clean houses, and then I'd even help her sometimes. But she was very much like, no, she didn't want me to. But then as a child, even seeing your mom like bending down and doing things, I think the way she raised me, I was just always like, I want to help, or I want to give. Mm-hmm. So me and her would both clean houses and then go home. And it was just a lot, because it was just me, her, and my brother. And my brother was 12 at the time. So she would just, I always saw her working and tired. And I didn't have the, my mom couldn't afford to put me in like dance or singing lessons or none of that. And that's something I'll never forget. When I was like 11, I was bawling, crying, because I wanted to dance so bad. I was like, I just want to dance. I want to, my friends are in dance classes and singing classes. And I was like, why can't I do it? Like, why can't I, can you put me in classes? And then like, I started crying, and I noticed she was crying. Mm-hmm. It was like a big moment. I was like, wait, why am I crying? I'm being so ungrateful. Like, she literally can't.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? My mom taught me to be a hard worker. When I turned 16, I got my first job, paid through dance classes myself. My mom helped me, but I was like, if I want to do it, I got to do it myself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what it is. And I give all the, like, glory to Sean. Sean Green, like, believed in me. My mom, he gave us a discount. I don't know why I'm crying. I think about my period. I think it's coming again, or the emotions are there. But what was I going to say?
Sean.
Yes. No, he like opened up his studio. He's like, your drive and like dedication. He's like, you could stay in the studio after hours. I would stay and like train. And I was like, I didn't learn when I was little, but I'm gonna learn now. Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud of you for, like, taking that initiative, too. Like, I think it's so hard sometimes to just start something. And it's hard also to not give up on a dream. Like, no, it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to give up on a dream. And you didn't let that happen. And I just want to say I'm so proud of you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I feel like that means a lot. But I feel like for people that are older, too, that, like, are like, oh, because I had that thought. I was like, well, I'm starting dance classes at 17.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's too late. But I was like, but this is something I've always wanted to do. And Sean was like, you have that, like, drive and dedication. You got to, like, he would be hard on me. And I thank him so much for that because it really helped me. And, like, he gave me that space to grow.
Yeah.
And, like, he's like, no, you're coming to advance. You're going to train with me. I'm going to do, like, one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, okay. And, like, just motivation to all those people who are older and, like, oh, I'm, like, 20 or I'm 30 and I don't know, I'm not gonna, I've always wanted to dance, but I just can't. Like, no, you could go to dance classes, go to singing classes. It's never too late. The all these people that are like huge, Adidas, the KFC guy, they started at like 40. That's, you know what
so
I mean?
Yeah. True.
The designers, Christian Dior became big at like, he, I think he was like 45.
Yeah.
So it's never too late. That's, it's like the number one message I want to spread. Like, because people are like, oh, I didn't start when I was a little girl. It's not too late. You can start right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right, it's just about the dedication that you got to put into it. Yeah. Every art and craft.
Dang. I guess we all cried.
We did.
Yeah. I hope you guys are crying over there, too, watching this. So we don't feel, you know.
Right.
Don't leave me lonely. Cry a little bit.
Okay, well. How do you end a podcast?
You end it like this. Goodbye, guys.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We hope you guys enjoyed this. Yeah.
And let us know maybe what other topics you might want us to cover.
We
want to
do more.
We'd love for you guys to get to know more of us besides our music and just know our personalities and our stories.
You guys want us to talk about, like, I don't know.
Anything.
Yeah.
Comment down below.
We're down. Yes. We'll do a Q&A next. Yeah.
Bye guys.
Hey guys, so make sure to stay tuned for our next episode coming very, very soon. We got a special thing that we're going to talk about, you know, a dose of